And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. You know, there's one thing that the Bible makes very, very clear. It says that in the last days, vice will expand throughout the world, and men will do more and more wicked things. And actually, the Bible tells us what kind of men and women it is who are so despicable, so repulsive in their behavior that they're unacceptable to God. Now, today's program is going to be sort of a shock to some people, perhaps. You know, I don't talk about sex very much. I don't really like to talk about it on air. Personally, I believe, you know, sex is between you and your wife, and that's your, you know, well, it's your bailiwick. I don't get involved in that. Shouldn't get involved. But sex has become a public thing, hasn't it, in America? And now it's being really, well, our faces are being snuffed into the mud, into the dirt. And when I read the Bible doesn't talk about sex very much, but there's plenty in it to let you know what is acceptable and what is not. And it seems that people are totally confused today. I'm not so sure whether they're confused or whether they want to accept today's super low standards. You know, in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21, it talks about certain sins. Oh, they were prevalent back in the days of the Apostle Paul. Such as adultery, such as fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Lasciviousness is to have an attitude, a behavior, a lifestyle of sexual immorality. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred. It goes on to talk about heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings. Drunken revelings, that is. That's party time to today's generation. Now, many millions of Americans participate in every one of these activities. And it's all over our TV sets and our movies and our culture, everywhere. The kids, well, they're asked to read books or articles with horrible names, letting you know, basically, that it's going to be about adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. And they're basically being asked to okay these things, to approve of them, to make it part of their lifestyle. Millions, billions, trillions of dollars is spent every year for these works of the flesh that are pumped into your living rooms, family rooms, bedrooms, by TV. It's demoralizing. It's absolute filth. And the Illuminati want this to get into your living room. You see, you know, I've always heard that sex sells. So advertisers put sex into their ads and so forth. But sex doesn't sell any more than, say, humor does, or even drama. It's just that there are these sick, devilish people that want us to be sexual creatures. To define our human lives in terms of our sexual attractions, our sexual desires, and finally, that the human being is a so much a product of these things that it's considered that he is nothing but a sexual product. He's a not a victim of his own human lust, but he becomes his own human lust. You know, in James chapter 1, verses 14 through 15, it says a man is basically tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. That is when lust is conceived. When lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. And that's what I want to talk to you today. Spiritual death caused by sexual sin. Now, maybe some of you about this time are saying, I'm going to turn off the radio. I don't want to hear about sexual things. I don't want to hear about sexual impurity. I don't want to hear about vice. I don't want to hear about immorality or divorce or any of those things. Maybe some of you say, well, they don't affect my life. I have a wife. I have a husband whom I love. We don't do those things. But maybe you've got children doing those things. 92% of black children are born out of wedlock. Is that not sin? 43% of children are born of white children are born out of wedlock. That's almost one out of every two. You know, I was listening, just sort of listening on the edge. I wasn't involved in the conversation. These young girls were talking about what their plans for their future. They looked about 20, 21 to me. And one said, well, I'm not going to get married. I'm going to go live with a guy. The other one said, oh, absolutely. And the third one said, sure. It was a sure bet. They didn't intend to marry. They intended to live with somebody. They hadn't even met a man, these three young ladies. There's no one that they knew that they wanted to live with, but they automatically knew, I guess it was society's custom today, that they would not get married. The first step is never marriage. It's always to live together. Now, if you tell these young ladies that's not God's way, they laugh at you. God? What does God have to do with it? Well, James says that it will eventually bring forth death. When you find a young man and he's handsome or he's nice, he's pleasant, and you move in with him and you have sex with him, your lust comes out, and eventually you will end dead. You can't see that right now. You're a young person. How could this man possibly bring death in your life? You don't realize it, my friends. You have brought in a deadly sin that is a disease. It is a disease. It's moral rot, and it will eat up your very innards. It will destroy you. It'll destroy you. If you watch television regularly and watch all of these programs, and you see, I read about all these programs. I've never even seen them. For example, there's one called Modern. Was it Modern Family or something like that? And I guess the whole purpose of the program, I've never watched one segment. I've never watched even 60 seconds. I've never watched 10 seconds. But I just get the gist from reading various things and such that it's all about abnormal family life, Modern Family. young people married to old, this race married to another race, these two homosexuals are fornicating together, living together, they have a child together. Now, I know you can't have a child if you're two men. They adopt, I suppose. I'm told that that's the best part of this program. Somebody told me, oh, I like that program. And the two homosexuals, they're very funny. They're really good. Is that funny to you, dear Christian? Is that what attracts you? I remember talking to a young lady about these kinds of things, my wife and I. She said, well, don't take away Ellen DeGeneres from us. I love Ellen. I just love her. Really? Is Ellen DeGeneres a boy or a girl or what? Well, you know, she's a lesbian. Yep, I'm a lesbian, she says. But don't take her away from me. Don't take her away from you. It was like the young lady had to have Ellen. I've got to have her. She's my fix. She's my cocaine. She's my heroin. I have to have her every day. I've heard people say the same thing about Rosie O'Donnell. Oh, I don't really like lesbians that much, but she's good. She's funny. She's sick to me, but okay. Everybody's got to have somebody, don't they? Yeah. Something is wrong. When Christians watch these kinds of programs and enjoy them and think the homosexuality is their most favorite part, I say the Christian has a diseased mind. Now, the King James Bible, Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, has a list of sinners who will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Did you know such a list exists? Do you, friend? It says here, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in a lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, for those of you that don't believe in hell, you may as well go to another program. For those of you who say, I don't believe in hell, God didn't give us hell, you don't believe in the Bible then. You don't believe in the Bible. The Bible says there is a hell. It's being enlarged all the time because it has to be expanded because it keeps filling up with more and more people. The devils have their dominion down there, not much of a dominion. They're in misery. Hell is a place of fire and brimstone, and it's where these people are going. The fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers. Now, what is it to be unbelieving? The Bible tells you everything you need to know about pornography, homosexuality, lesbianism, fornication. You know these are wrong. If you do them anyway, you're unbelieving. You don't believe what God said. He would bring death to you. You're going to have your part in the lake of fire. You say, oh, no, that's just that's just meant to scare us. This is a real place I'm talking about. This exists. There is a place called hell. It burns with fire and brimstone. It brings you death. What are the abominable? What do you think an abominable person is? Certainly a homosexual person is abominable. A lesbian is abominable. They burn in their lust one for another for different kinds of flesh. That's what the Bible says. And those who bring you these kinds of movies and this kind of pornography on the internet, and that's the number one industry on the internet, believe me, are murderers. They bring people to death. They are murderers. You know, I was recently in California, invited to speak to an Armenian group there. I stayed in a hotel in the northern part of Los Angeles, in the Northridge area. And I drove around and saw the beautiful homes in that area, and I realized that just north of L.A., right where I was staying in these nice hotels, motels, as a guest speaker for this group, I actually spoke in Glendale, which is a distance away, I realized that I was in the porno capital of the world. You see, some 90% of the world's pornography comes from the United States. 90%. And most of that comes from North LA. What is there about North LA that makes it such a porno capital? They make the X-rated movies there. They have the companies that bring the filthy internet material and the magazines and pictures and all these this adult industry. What brings them to North LA? Why would a person go there? Why would a person start a business, a sex-related business? It would not surprise you to know that virtually all of them are Jews. Virtually all of the porno industry are Jews. The King James Bible here in Revelation talks about the whoremongers. Are they not the whoremongers? Are they not the sorcerers that attempt to steal your mind, to take your mind to horrible places? Are they not liars when they tell you this is good for you, it's wonderful, it's something you should be involved in? There were all of these things. And let me tell you something, my friends. They're also fearful. I don't care what they say. They say, I don't care. I'm not worried. I don't worry about God. He can go to hell. Yeah, well, we'll see about that. They are fearful. They better be fearful. I want to talk to you a little bit about pornography. You know, most of my graduate courses were in psychology. And I think I understand a little bit how men's minds work. People want to be liked. They want to be part of the common crowd. They want to go along. They don't want to fight all the time. They like to be accepted. This is why the homosexual lobby, and there's definitely a homosexual lobby in America, has been able to beat and to bludgeon Christians, even strong Christians, into submission. If you don't go along with their homosexuality, with their homosexual instruction in schools, with the teachers that are homosexuals, they will call you a bigot, a homophobe. They'll say you're a hater. Now, this is relatively new. It's only come up in the last 10 to 20 years. Now, they have to do that because they can't win a regular debate. They can't debate these, whether they're an act against God, an act of vile nature. Of course they are. So they just resort to bludgeoning you with words. You are a homophobe. You are a bigot. You're a hater. But isn't it amazing that pathetic Christians, pathetic so-called Christians, can't seem to take the heat? I personally don't care what they call me. I hope this program does gin up a bunch of them. I mean, you know, we've had them phone and write us here at this ministry. Some have said they're going to kill me for saying these kinds of things. They're going to kill me. Well, come on, buddy. I'm going to live forever. You can't kill me. Either here or somewhere else, I'm going to live forever. And I'll be a lot happier in the next place called heaven. They've called us here. One guy called and said, I'm right down the street from you. I'm coming into your office. I'm going to be your worst nightmare. Well, come on. We never showed up. They cannot defend themselves, their practices, their evil, wicked principles of this new morality that defends sexual perversion. That's what it is. Adultery. But they call me a homophobic person. I don't care. Of course. So is God homophobic? Yes, they say. Of course, many of them say, well, that's not really God. Men wrote that book. Mm-hmm. That's what one of the women who helped put together the Old Testament for the New International Version says, Miss Virginia Mollenkott, Dr. Mollenkott. She's a lesbian living with her lover, and she helped write the Bible. She chose the words for it. She says the sin at Sodom and Gomorrah of the people there really was a sin of not having hospitality. You know, the angels came there, and the people were all, you know, engaged and involved in all these sexual sins and homosexuality and so forth, and they began to, they went to the house of you know, Lot, began to beat on his door and say, hey, we saw those handsome men go in your house. We want them for ourselves. Send them on out. Party with us. We're having a big party tonight. I'm sort of paraphrasing it, folks. That's what they did. Send them out to party with us. We know they're in there. Well, Lot decided, you know, and need to have a little fun with them, I guess. Actually, I don't think that was the real purpose. What he wanted to do was show them up for what they were. He said, well, I've got daughters that are virgins. I've got these lovely daughters. Why don't I send them out to you? No, we don't want your daughters. We want those men. Do you get it, folks? He had daughters. He had virgin daughters. He said, I'll give you my daughters. I actually had a person write to me and say, look how bad Lot was while he was going to give them his daughters. No, he wasn't. Lot knew they didn't want his daughters. They wanted strange flesh. They were lascivious. They were evil, wicked people. They thought about homosexuality. That's what they wanted. They were perverts. And Lot knew it. He said, I'm not going to let you defile these strangers that have come to visit me here. He didn't know they were angels at the time, but these fair men, these good-looking men, I'll give you my daughters. They didn't want his daughters. They wanted to do strange things, evil, homosexual acts. He knew it. That's exactly what they would do because he was a man of God. And so Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. You know, I talked with a young lady about 30 years old several years ago, and she goes to church every Sunday, her and her family. A nice Christ-loving person, supposedly. And her little daughter asks me, I don't know why, what do you think about homosexual people? So I said, well, they've got a perverted mind. Because, you know, a good person would never do that. Really? The little girl said. I said, exactly. I said, that's even in the Bible. Have you ever read about the story of Sodom and Gomorrah? No, tell me. So I gave her a little quick little background on it. And her mother said, I've never heard that before. Here's a woman now, about 30, 35 years of age. I've never heard that before. She goes to church. She even taught Sunday school. She's never heard the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, I'll tell you one thing, my friends. About 99.9% of the homosexuals in America have heard about Sodom and Gomorrah. And they hate that story. And they try to pervert the story and change it around or take it out of the Bible or whatever they can do to get rid of it. Because it tells exactly what God's attitude is and what he's going to do eventually to every homosexual in the world. And I'm talking about those just who have homosexuality in their minds. In their minds. Now, I don't know what the greatest vice and sin that's active in the world today, but homosexuality could be one of them. Martin Luther, the great Protestant Reformationist, once said, "If I profess with the loudest voice and clearest exposition every portion of the truth of God, except precisely that little point which the world and the devil are at that moment attacking, I am not confessing Christ, however boldly I may be professing Christ. Where the battle rages, there the loyalty of the soldier is proved." Do you get that? Where the battle rages, there the loyalty of the Christian soldier is proved. It's not a problem to fight all these other sins. This evidently is this is one that they're capturing people's minds with. This is mind control. They're using our laws. They're changing everything. And now, of course, we've got a wicked devil president, Barack Obama, who says same-sex marriage is okay. He's even reputed to be a homosexual himself. And there's some evidence of that. Isaiah 5, verse 20 warns, "Woe to them that call evil good and good evil." That verse has been a very heavy one to me. You see, everyone in the New Age movement appears to be good, dripping with love. They always told me that, you know, in the New Age churches, they love each other. They hug a lot in the New Age churches. They call each other good. Whatever they do, it doesn't matter because they don't judge anyone. You should not judge. That's what they say. Well, God never judges. I beg to differ with you. I've told you five or six verses here where he says he's going to send you to hell, to fire and brimstone forever and ever for doing these things, and then you tell me God doesn't judge. Well, Jesus doesn't judge. He told the Jews of his day, "You are of your father, the devil." He judged them. He knew what they were. John 6, verse 66, get that combination if you want to, 666. John 6, verse 66, says that Jesus would not accept them, that was the people that came to him, because he knew what was in the minds of every man. Yeah, there are a lot of people that went to Jesus, said, "I believe in you. I've seen these miracles. I've seen you make, you know, take the fish and break it up and feed 5,000. Just a few fish and the bread you broke, just a few loaves and fed 5,000 people. You're a miracle worker. I believe in you." It says Jesus did not believe in them. He would not accept them. He knew what was in their hearts. He knows. You cannot hide from God. You cannot. Your sin will come out. It will be out instantly. Transparent, glaring, with a big light all over it. I'm going to come back in just a minute. We're going to talk about how the Illuminati elite, the Jews, use pornography as a secret weapon to control minds, and how they do it on purpose, and they proudly do it, and they say to hell with Jesus Christ. They do. And I'm going to prove that to you when I return. I'm Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Hello, friends. I'm Tex Mars. You know, I want to thank those of you who are giving to our ministry, in particular to the cause of our staff, of our employees. You know, we have a very small staff, and they do amazing things and they love their jobs, and they want to serve you. You know, people ask me who I work for, and I say God. And I say every person who is part of this great ministry. That means you. That means you. I work for you. I'm your ambassador. I'm your voice to the world. A lot of you, you can't be on radio or TV or write books. You know, you're busy doing your regular life. You're plumbers, carpenters, doctors, lawyers, mechanics, your teachers, administrators. You're doing great with what you're doing, and I'm here as your ambassador. I'm your worker. I'm on your staff. You and I both together work for God. You may not think you work for God, but you do. The moment that you accepted Jesus into your heart, you became his slave. Now, I know it's not popular today to say you're a slave. But the Bible says that you are indebted, that you automatically become a slave to whoever you serve. Now, Bob Dylan, he's done some bad things in his life, but one time he did do a Christian song. It was entitled, You Gotta Serve Somebody. Might be the devil, or it might be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. I believe you're listening to this program today. You listen to it every week on this station, on this frequency, because you want to serve God. You know, God, I learned early on in my Christian life that what God really wants from us is to be our friend. And he wants us to have the attitude that we want to serve him. Now, I have to tell you that I'm married, and I'm married to Wanda, and I serve her. I do. I serve her. Now, sometimes she says I don't serve her enough, but I do. I serve her. She serves me too. We serve each other. And we both serve God. And I don't regret one moment. I don't regret anything at all serving God. I am his slave. But it's interesting to me that when you're the bond servant to somebody, the bond servant, that's what the Bible says we are, bond servants. When you're a servant and you're loved by the master, I don't know, the relationship just changes. You know, the story in the Bible of the Roman centurion, it's like a captain, a man of authority. He came to Jesus and said, Lord, help me, save my servant. He had a slave, you see, that was ill, was near death. And this master, this Roman centurion, a very stern man, no doubt, a very cruel man in war and in battle, loved this servant. He didn't say, well, when he dies off, that's okay, we'll get us another servant. How many servants were there? I mean, how many slaves were there? All the time there were slaves everywhere during that era. But this servant, he loved. He said, Lord, please, save this. You have the authority. I'm a man of authority. I say to this soldier, that soldier, go here, go there, do that. And they do it because they have to. Likewise, you also give orders. And it's done just as you say. And Jesus said, I will come with you. He had agreed. He saw the faith in that man. What did the man have? Did he have his daughter, his son, his wife, his mother? No, that was ill. No, he had a servant. He had a slave. That's what was breaking his heart. He cared for his slave, his servant. Jesus said, I will come with you. Well, it gets better than that. The man says, Lord, you don't need to come with me. I am not worthy that you would come to my house. If you just give the word, it'll be done. And Jesus said, at this very time, it's done. It was done at that moment. And when the Roman centurion had left, Jesus turned to his disciples and said, I have never seen such faith. In all of Israel, I've never seen such faith. Was it a Jew? Was it a member of the chosen race? No, it was a Roman, a centurion, a soldier. Jesus said, I have never seen such faith. In all of Israel, I've never seen such faith. Well, that's how much Jesus loves you and me. You may be surprised about that. Well, I'm just a slave. I'm just a servant. I serve him. I get on my knees and I pray to him and I ask him, please, and I beg him and I beseech him. That's good. You should do that. At the same time, though, Jesus will take you in his arms and cradle you and take care of you. I did a audio tape some years ago. I'm going to play it again because I keep thinking about the audio tape, what it means to me. A fragile bird, he will not crush. You can order it from the ministry here for $10. A fragile bird, he will not crush. Have you ever felt fragile? Scared? You don't know what life is going to bring next? God's not going to crush you, friends. You turn to him. He's going to take care of you. He loves you. Now, I want to tell you how much I appreciate your taking care of the ministry of the people here. We don't have a lot of money coming into this ministry. We don't have the big homosexuals and all these others. They give money to their churches too. Yeah, they do. They love the itching ears. They love the lies that they're told. We don't tell lies here. We tell the truth. It can be pretty straightforward. And many of you, we have a project once a year for a month. It's sort of our staff project. We ask individuals to help our staff and send money, and it goes direct to our staff. And we don't take a cent of it. It goes right in the ministry. It's you know, we put it in a separate little, you know, worksheet. How much money comes in. If you want to give toward our staff, employees appreciation, then, you know, please send us your love gift of any amount, $2, $5, $10, $100. We don't have medical with our employees. We don't have medical. And we don't have Obamacare or any of that. I guess if one of them really was in bad shape, I don't know what we would do. We would have to come to you and ask for help if they got some bad disease or some malady, because we just don't have the money to even pay for the medical insurance. And the last couple of years, we haven't given any pay raises to our people. You say, well, that's cruel, Tex. Everybody needs a pay raise. Well, they do, but when we're not making the money, what can we do? I don't receive any pay raise either. In fact, my pay's been going down, down, down. But we still smile around here. We still joke around here. We still kid each other. We still love Jesus Christ. He's still rewarding us. He is paying us in ways that men do not know. And you'll be paid too. You'll be helped by God by helping us. So Employees Appreciation Month. Now, when you give, also give to the ministry. Don't forget the ministry. We've got to keep going here too. But when you do give, please say, so much of it, of this is going to the employees or employees appreciation. And we'll make sure that part goes direct to them. And we really appreciate that. Phone us toll free, 1-800-234-9673. Now, you can go to our website, powerofprophecy.com or textmars.com. Or you can write to us at Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Okay, that's all I wanted to say today. Now, let's return to our regular program. Pornography as a secret weapon. You know, there's a group over in Soviet No, excuse me. There, my old Cold War attitude coming back. In Russia today. In Russia. Now, I'm not using these names lightly, but I just want to be honest about what their name is. Made up of young ladies. They're sort of a rock group, music group, over in Russia. They're called Pussy Riot. P-U-S-S-Y, Riot. But it's not about the cats. Let's put it that way. It's not about the cats. I was recently reading about a neo-Bolshevik sex orgy. That means the new Bolsheviks sex orgy. Now, I thought that Pussy Riot was some women's group, and it is, that wants greater freedoms in Russia. Now, they've gone inside churches and demonstrated, done things. I didn't know what they were doing. And they go out on the street corners and do strange things to get attention. Well, a while back, they were actually taken by the authorities. They were arrested, put on trial, and then sent off to jail for a while. Now, the whole world erupted. The whole sexual, sinful world erupted at Pussy Riot. What a horrible thing Vladimir Putin has done. These poor young women of Pussy Riot. What did they do to deserve this behavior? I mean, all of these feminists in America, even Hillary Rodham Clinton, she was asked about it, and she said, they're doing our work. They're helping forward the women's movement. I applaud Pussy Riot. That was Hillary Clinton's words. I applaud Pussy Riot. Well, I have a good friend named Jonas Alexis, A-L-E-X-I-S. I always read his columns. He writes for Veterans Today. The most outstanding columns. He wrote one recently. It says, neocons, that's Jewish neocons, support sex orgies in the name of freedom and democracy. That's what Jonas Alexis wrote. Now, he's a world traveler, Jonas Alexis is, and he writes about such things. And he reads all these Moscow, Leningrad, and, you know, various publications. He said he was recently challenged about Pussy Riot, and he did some research on it. Turns out that Pussy Riot does public demonstrations all right, but not for women's rights. Let me just read to you what he writes here. This is from the Moscow newspaper, The Exile. He explains what Pussy Riot is doing. Quote, they stripped off their clothes and started, take the children out of the room, started F-U-C-K-I-N-G in the middle of Moscow's biology museum in an act they call F-U-C-K for Medvedev. Medvedev was the president at that time of Russia. He's Putin's good friend. So they stripped off their clothes inside a museum, a biology museum in Moscow, the capital city, and they began to have sex, a sex orgy. A few photographers were there. They pulled out a banner. They popped a bunch of Viagra, it says, and they effed, you know the word, on the floor for about 10 minutes before getting thrown out. Another time Pussy Riot demonstrated by stealing a frozen chicken and literally placing it in the woman's, you know what. And they filmed the entire sexual scene so that everybody could see it later on television and so forth. And then one of the leaders of this group took a chainsaw to a Christian cross. Oh, yes. These young ladies hate Christianity, of course, because Christianity is this strict, brutal religion. So they took a chainsaw to a Christian cross in the Ukraine, right in front of Kiev's central square. The woman who was doing this act of vandalism with her chainsaw was topless. So much for Pussy Riot. That's why they were arrested, for doing things like this. And one of these things they did in a church, interrupting a worship service. Well, Vladimir Putin had him arrested. He didn't, but the authorities did. And they were found guilty and sent off to jail for a while, for some months. I want to emphasize that today, I think that Russia is probably more Christian than America is. Putin says that he is a Christian. He goes to the Orthodox Church. And he says flat out that America has lost its moral bearings. Now, another country that's lost its moral bearings is Great Britain. Every time I turn to the newspapers, I always go to the English newspapers to see what's going on in Great Britain, and I find horrors there. I don't want to read those newspapers anymore. They have these sexual horrors. Let me give you an example. I recently read of a terrible thing that's been going on in a city called Rotherham. Now, I don't know how many people it has, 400,000 or 500,000 people in Rotherham. They had a story there. Listen to this, folks. 1,482 young women from ages 10 to 16 have been raped in Rotherham. How many did I say? 1,482. How is that possible? How can you rape 1,482 young women as low as 10 years of age up to 16? Well, they say it was done by Muslim gangs and Muslim men. They would invite these young girls to their parties, give them cocaine, heroin, marijuana, and they would gangbang them. 20 or 30 men at a time, two or three young girls. And this went on for some years. Some of the girls didn't know what was going on. They were 13, 14, they were invited to some party. Stupidly, they went. They ended up being raped. Naturally, they went to the police and pled for help. They went to their parents, help me. They got no help. No help. Now, this incident, these incidents, as it turns out, the police had a policy. It was known by the mayor. It was approved by the city council and by all of the big wigs of society there in Rotherham that these things would be covered up and not acted upon. They allowed 1,482, and still counting, by the way, young women to be raped by Arab Muslim men. There's a lot of Muslims living in England now. Why would they do such a horrible thing? I don't care if it's Muslims or who. I don't care if it's Baptists. How would they allow 1,482 young women to be raped over a period of 10 years or more? And not one of these men were ever brought to trial. What's going on? Well, it turns out that the officials of this town, the mayor, the council, the police chief, wanted to be politically correct. And they thought they might be called racist if they reported these rapes by Muslim men. Say what? Friends, I'm telling you the truth. Get about it. Look on Google. Look up Rotherham. Women raped. Young girls raped. They did not bring these young Muslim, I say young, many of them were in their 20s and 30s. And they had rapes constantly, every weekend, you know, this many girls. And the police covered it all up. The newspapers wouldn't cover it. The local press, the TV wouldn't cover it. It was politically incorrect to talk about Muslims raping these young Christian girls, supposed Christian girls. Maybe some of them were. Now, friends, I wonder if that's going on in America. Are these young Muslim men, or these older men even, raping young girls today? They go to the police. The police say, well, we can't do anything about that. He's a Muslim. We don't want to be politically correct. We want to be politically correct. We don't want anybody to tell us that we're politically incorrect. I can't even imagine keeping something like this bottled up and hidden for political correctness' sake. At the same time, now they're having another problem over there. Listen to this from London. In a massive national dragnet British police have arrested more than 600 suspected pedophiles who had pornographic images of children on their internet. Wow. Those arrested include doctors, lawyers, caregivers, former police officers. Of 660 suspects, I'm not going to read any more of that. Yeah. And they say that some of these were the most popular men in England. They were politicians. One of them had a TV show that was the number one show in England. He was interviewed by some woman on TV one time, and he did a sex act with his hand on the woman while they were interviewing him. They didn't go all the way down to his hand, and you couldn't see where his hand was. And after the show, the woman complained and said, "Did you see what he was doing while I was interviewing? He had his hand. He was doing ABC." And her co-workers and her bosses said, "Oh, well, that was just him. That's just the way he is." It turns out this perverted person, he doesn't have a TV show here in the United States, and he recently died. This same pervert had contacts, get this, at funeral homes and went in and had sex with dead girls and dead boys. That's incredible. That's sick. That's disgusting. And he would go to hospitals and while patients were, well, I'm not going to talk about that. He was given a knighthood by the Queen. You know, the Illuminati are using pornography as a secret weapon. Let me tell you about this. Al Goldstein died recently. He'd been the publisher of a magazine called Screw. He said this. The reason he got into pornography, the only reason that Jews are in pornography, according to Al Goldstein, is that we think Christ sucks. Well, isn't that what that woman Griffith says? What's her first name, Jerry? Kathy Griffith, the comedian. I've done an expose of these so-called Jewish comedians. Well, Kathy Griffin, I don't know whether she's Jewish or not. She received an award, and there she was up receiving the award. I don't know what the awards, I don't know what all these awards are on television, but she said, "I dedicate this award to Christ. He sucks." Christ sucks? That's what Al Goldstein said. That's what Betty is it? Kathy, thank you. Kathy Griffin says. Now, a man named Dr. Nathan Abrams is supposedly the world's most renowned authority on the Jewish role in pornography. He's written a book. Let's just talk about an essay he wrote called Triple Ethnics. Triple Ethnics. It was published in the prestigious Jewish Quarterly back in 2004. He says that Jews are the world's most successful pornographers. And he celebrates this fact. Jews, he says, are pornographers because they, quote, have a grudge against Christianity. They have a, quote, hatred of Christian authority. One of the ways in which they get their revenge on the Christians is pornography. Well, isn't that great? The Jews are into pornography because they hate you and me and Jesus Christ. And Jewish involvement in pornography has a long history in the U.S., says Dr. Abrams. And the leading male performers, the sex stars, the Hollywood stars, appear all to be Jewish males and a number of Jewish women. Now, Jews make up 2% of American society. Why is it that most of these horrible porno movies, the pornography comes from the Jews? They only make up 2% of the population. Dr. Abrams says the motivation of the Jewish pornographic industry, which is the biggest in the world, the largest in the world, is simply this. The motivation of the Jewish pornographic industry is, quote, to destroy Gentile morals. to destroy your morals. It's a plot. It's a conspiracy. Yeah, let me go ahead and say those words. They want to destroy Gentile morals. That's it. It's a declaration of war, is it not? Sarah Silverman on HBO said, I hope that the Jews did kill Christ. I'd effing do it again in a second, she said. Wow. She's spitting in our face. She's being rewarded for it. I saw her the other night. I was flipping channels. There she was on the, what's the name of that show? It's not Jimmy Fallon. It's the other guy. I don't know. It's on late night, some talk show. She was a guest there on his show. Yeah, Jimmy Kimmel. In fact, he and Sarah Silverman used to go together, I understand. Yeah. Abraham Foxman, you know, the head of the Jewish ADL, was asked about that. And he said, oh, yes. He's proud of the fact that Jews make these top, they're the top pornographers in the world. He said it's just part of the American entrepreneurship. They want to be good American entrepreneurs, good businessmen. Robert Stoller, a medical doctor, wrote a book called Porn, Myths for the 20th Century. He wanted to find out what kind of people have the mentality to be pornographers. He said, quote, if you're welcome into the porn scene, it's unbelievable. It's an extended family. So many Jewish people involved with it. So many Jewish people involved in it. There it is, produced in the San Fernando Valley in Southern California, just north of L.A. The biggest organization in the world, the biggest corporation in the world, is Vivid Entertainment. Make all these sex porn movies. It's owned by Jewish multi-billionaire Stephen Hirsch. He's known as the porn king of the world. He makes over $100 million a year putting out porn. This is the right time for us, he says. These people are fabulously rich. They're getting rich by destroying lives. Snuff films, horrible sex films. They consider pornography as a secret weapon. I read about these things in the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. Get that book. You'll find out why they use pornography. It's how they pollute our minds. How do they destroy our minds. Friends, let me tell you something. Be good to yourself. Be kind to those who love you, to your family. Stay away from pornography. Stay away from these sitcoms, so-called, on TV. Be, in a word, straight. Be a good person. Love Jesus. Pray to him. Thank him for making you his bondservant. Get this stuff out of your life. Have nothing to do with the works of darkness, Ephesians says, but rather reprove them. Reprove them. Don't be afraid to go up against homosexuality, even if you lose your job. Even, I don't care what happens to you. You will be rewarded by God in due time. In due time, he'll reward his own. Be brave. Stand up for truth. Stand up for morality. It's about time, isn't it? I'm Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. Stay tuned each week. Stay tuned and discover the power of prophecy.